This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio. We are going to get to Al Bernstein from Showtime here in just 1 second. He is also part of a very cool thing called PicksForOV.com, Opportunity Village. And Johnny Katz and our friend Adam Joseph, who Adam's been here before, Johnny is not. They're going to be here in the next segment to talk about what's going on for that and the outstanding winter promotion that they've got going on every year here in Las Vegas, the Winter Wonderland that they've got for Opportunity Village. So we'll get to that conversation with Adam and John in the next segment. Al Bernstein will be joining us to break down here, which, look, if you're a fight fan, you don't see heavyweight fights like that that we saw on Saturday. You don't see fights going the distance. You don't see a guy get off the canvas twice. A guy in Tyson Fury, who comes back after 2 years off, losing 150 pounds, overcoming mental illness and drug addiction. You don't see Deontay Wilder's opponents getting up when they get hit clean twice, and they get hit clean in a later round. Their eyes roll back in their heads, yet somehow, some way, they find a way to get up. Unreal. Split decision, draw, meaning we'll do it all again. Al Bernstein from Showtime joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Al, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I appreciate the time today. All right, so we got your Opportunity Village folks here here in town, here in studio, coming up in the next segment. How are you doing in that contest?
Well, I'm kind of in the middle of the pack. Had my moments early on, but now I'm more in the middle of the pack. But nice. But I'm moving up there, so it's fun. It's fun to pick the games every week.
Very nice. Adam Joseph and Johnny Katz will be in studio coming up in the next segment, more on the Opportunity Village and picksforov.com here in the next segment. All right, so in your career of watching great fights, how do you rank what you saw on Saturday night?
Well, the most astonishing part was Tyson Fury getting up. When we were calling the match, and Mauro Ranallo even kind of inadvertently said after the knockdown, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder has done it. And then he realized, wait, I phrased that wrong, because guess what? This guy's actually going to get up, which seemed impossible. And I have to be honest that in the 37 years I've been doing boxing and broadcasting, as I said it on the air, I said that was probably the most astonishing thing I've seen. There was no way he was going to get up after that second knockdown. Somehow he did.
The count has been called into question, saying it might have been slow by the referee in the ring. Watching it in real time, where you were from your perch, did you feel like it was a slow count?
Well, we rewatched it. Paulie Malignaggi and I rewatched it. I didn't think it was long. I think the count was right, exactly what it was supposed to be. He just barely beat it at 9.
And he gets up, and Fury was able, on the scorecards, do you feel like a draw was the right outcome for that fight?
Well, I personally thought the one score, Roquin's score, 115-111 for Wilder was ludicrous. That was absurd. He didn't win that fight, 115-111. That means he would have had to have won, I think, 7 rounds in that fight, and he didn't. Or maybe 8. But right. I thought Fury won 114-112, but you could get to a draw. I mean, it's conceivable. I haven't looked at all the rounds, and I didn't score it round by round. Mm-hmm. But it's conceivable to get to the score that says a draw. I don't think it's possible to get to a score that says Wilder won the fight.
From a story perspective, in what Fury has overcome, being gone for 2 years, losing 150 pounds, overcoming mental illness, you know, being just away from the sport and being able to go 12 rounds, how remarkable, and not just getting up once, but getting up twice, how remarkable from a physical performance was that by Tyson Fury?
Well, I would liken it to years ago. Johnny Tapia, who's now in the Boxing Hall of Fame, was out of the sport for several years. It was a drug addict. Tyson Fury had drug problems in addition to other things. Johnny Tapia was literally living on the street, came back, and was a better fighter when he came back than when he left the sport, which I thought I'd never see again. Saturday night, Tyson Fury, to me, looked as good or better as he's ever looked as a boxer. And that was after, you know, 3 years of obesity, mental health issues, and drug abuse. So it's one of the more remarkable comebacks that I've ever seen.
Albert Stephen Showtime joining us here on Pushing the Odds. We had talked, I was on Radio Row on Wednesday and Thursday in Los Angeles, and the thought was Wilder wins and Wilder would then call out Anthony Joshua and say, I want the fight in April, which is scheduled for Joshua most likely in England. But is that, you know, idea of one of these two fighters fighting Joshua now put on ice? Because these two guys have to do it again, don't they?
Well, they don't have to do it again. I don't know. The rematch clause was, I believe, was if Wilder lost the fight. I don't know if a draw was involved in that. And Fury was less committal to a rematch than Wilder was. Wilder was the one in the ring pushing the rematch. So I think that'll sort itself out here in the next few days. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. Eddie Hearn may try and do an end run and say, hey, guess what, Tyson Fury? I'd like you to fight Anthony Joshua in April in Wembley Stadium. And, of course, that would be a huge fight over there. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I think fans will get a kick out of seeing a rematch, and I think it's quite possible. But I don't know that that's definitive.
Of what you saw Saturday night, which one of those fighters is more dangerous for Anthony Joshua to face?
That's a good question. You know, they each bring something different. What Tyson Fury showed us, I mean, I don't know that Anthony Joshua is a huge puncher. I don't know if he is any harder than Wilder. They're both pretty much, I think, on a par. It's hard to tell. That Wilder or Fury was able to deal with literally the hardest shots twice. He was hit with amazing punches. The second knockdown, the guy with a huge right hand and a left hook when he was going down, he still got up. So if Tyson Fury could box and has another training camp where he can get sharper even, he presents an issue for Anthony Joshua in terms of that skill set. Wilder presents the issue of power. Joshua was stunned, was hurt by Dillian White, and you know, is potentially you know, like Wilder, who's also been stunned, you know, has some issues. So, you know, Wilder brings the power, Fury brings the guile and ability to box. So I think they're both dangerous for Joshua, and Joshua is dangerous for both of them because he of his power. So it's either way, the three of them. What happened the other night was Fury was definitely good enough to tell us that we have a trio of heavyweights at the top of the division with Luis Ortiz just below them, who are on a similar level.
It's interesting, I think, from when you look at if a rematch were to happen, and I'm curious from your perspective, Al, did Wilder make a mistake by not going to the body more to wear out a fighter who had not been in the ring for 2 years?
Well, he's not a body puncher, you know. And the other problem is when he goes to the body from the outside, he leaves himself open. So, because he doesn't like to fight on the inside. So I don't know if Wilder is would employ that in any case. He's never been a body puncher. So I think the issue is, he was saying he overthrew his punches, which he did, but he always does that. So
right. That
was the question, you know, would his technique be something that Fury could take advantage of? Now, his point always was, hey, he has to be perfect for 12 rounds. I just have to be perfect for a minute, well, or a second. Well, he was perfect for 2 seconds in that fight. Twice he was perfect, and Fury still got up. Now, whether he could do it again, if he was hit with one of those right hands, I don't know. But if Fury has more time and another training camp to kind of get his himself straight, you know, will he be even a better boxer? And also, there were moments where Fury backed up Wilder. Would that happen more often? I mean, it was clearly a pretty close fight. You know, whether people believed in the draw or not, well, you could make a case it wasn't a close fight if you believe that Wilder lost most of the other rounds, but those two knockdowns clearly made it a close fight.
Al, great stuff. Enjoyed the fight. Looking forward to seeing what happens in the future of that division. Should be a ton of fun. Really appreciate the time today.
Okay.
Al Bernstein from Showtime joining us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Good to get his take on what happened between Wilder and Fury on Saturday night. I hope they do it again. I hope they rematch. Sounds like that's very much up in the air. But I can't fight Fury if he says, I'm fighting in April in Wembley Stadium against Anthony Joshua with 90,000 people. That would be unbelievable. All right, we got two in-studio guests coming up next. Let's talk to our friends Johnny Katz and Adam Joseph from Opportunity Village. Picks for OV.com, CG Technologies, great pick contest that's happening for the NFL. Both those guys will be live in studio next. Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.